Well, I want to wish the blessing and peace of God on each one here today. Not sure what you are expecting today. It's certainly my prayer that today wouldn't be about me, but it would be about the message of the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ. And so I hope you can look beyond me and that God would have something for us today. I do want to say I am, it's very humbling to be here, and also I'm very grateful for the support that I have felt and that seen here today, and I especially thank our families that are here today. Your support means a tremendous amount to me, and to have you here today means a lot. I have received so much encouragement coming up to this point, and it's just really amazing. It's been from multiple states, from other countries. It's come from so many places, and it's really almost exciting when you start to realize how many people still care about the church and how many people care about what's happening in the church and about the growth of the church. And I would say to our older people, if you're sometimes discouraged about what's happening, know that there is a young generation that cares. I have been just overwhelmed in the people my age that have been reaching out to me since the ordination, and especially sharing their support for me, but beyond that, the support for the work of Christ and the work of the ministry of the gospel. And I think it's an exciting thing, and I hope that together we can capture that excitement, and that we can advance the kingdom of Jesus. The message title I have for today is The Goodness of God. I thought about this a lot the weekend of the ordination and the time since then. There was a lot went through my mind that weekend and the following week, and my mind went a lot of places and sorting through things, and there was somewhat of a reoccurring theme that kept coming back to me, and it was just the reassurance of the goodness of God. And I kept thinking about, you know, I have been blessed so richly. I have been given so much. God has been so good to me. Who am I to pout and complain about this calling on my life? And so it's been on my mind a lot, and I felt led to share that today, and I pray that it could be an encouragement to all of you. Brother Jr. had preached a message last Sunday, and I thought it may overlap a little bit with that, and yet I think it's fitting for the time of year that we are in, just a focus and a look at the goodness of God. So the message today, I would say, is not so much about defining the goodness of God, but it's rather increasing our understanding of the goodness of God, and a call to acknowledge it, and beyond that, to take a look at how it should affect the life, should affect my life. And it's a message for myself, but I hope that you all can gain something today as we look into what the Word of God has to say, and just think a bit about how good God has been to us, and what our responsibility is as it in reply to that. So let's think a little bit about how we define goodness. We have earthly ways of defining goodness, and I was thinking about just what makes it practical to us, and I was thinking for myself in defining goodness. So one thing I thought of, and this is somewhat of a crude illustration, but I have been a farmer, at least a part-time farmer, for a good part of my life, and I think I've developed somewhat of an understanding of what a good cow is. And I was thinking, well, so what you might wonder, well, what makes a good cow to you? Or what's a good cow? And I think there's a lot of people here that understand what a good cow is. there's qualities of a cow that make her a good cow. And the more of those good qualities she has, the better of a cow she is. And so I think all the farmers here could relate to that. We do this with so many things, but I think we do it a lot with food. And so we could think about a loaf of bread. What makes a loaf of bread a good loaf of bread? And we could say different things. I mean, it should have, you know, a nice, it should look good. It should have a nice crisp crust and be soft inside. And I think nowadays it should definitely be sourdough, but we have these combination of qualities, and the more qualities that are there, the better it is. That's what defines its goodness. But the goodness of God is completely different. It's not defined by what we use to define goodness. It's not measured by our measurements or our understanding. God is good, and he is the source of all good and the true measurement of goodness. And we must understand that, and I think it's so key that we understand that God is good. And all measurement of goodness comes from God. I'm going to kind of break the message into three parts today. The first part, we're going to take a look at the goodness of God should call us to worship. So that'll be the first part. The second part will be looking at the goodness of God as it relates to the good things in our life. And then thirdly, I'd like to look at the goodness of God in relation to the difficulties of life. So we're going to take a look at each of those and see what God's Word has to say. For a text scripture, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 to 10. And this might not be the scripture that comes to your mind when you think of the goodness of God, but I read this story to Cole this week, and I was in preparing for this message, I was struck with how this story portrays so well the goodness of God. And so think about it as we read the story of Zacchaeus, and I believe it's an excellent demonstration of the goodness of God. I'll start reading in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So the story here, when you take a look at who Zacchaeus was and understand that Zacchaeus was very likely a hated and very looked down on. If you look at the history of a tax collector, they were not well received. They were generally cheaters and had very few friends. They were disliked and they were, essentially looked at as a somewhat of a scum to society. Notice in verse 5, and in verse 5 is where I think there is there's a part of this story that becomes very special, where Jesus notices Zacchaeus, he speaks to him, and then the part he says where he asks if he could come to Zacchaeus' house. And so there something happened. Now this is the goodness of God coming through Jesus. So where he's taking time to, first of all, to speak, but then he's going beyond that, and he's taking the time to say, I want to fellowship with you. I want to spend time at your house. This is the goodness of God being extended to a person who is undeserving, a person who is unliked, a person who is probably very unlovable. And so we see Jesus extends the goodness of God, and then we see Zacchaeus receives it. In verse 6, he says he received him joyfully. And then notice what happens further here in verse 8. Zacchaeus says, "Behold, Lord." And I think there's even a sense of worship where Zacchaeus recognizes what Jesus is extending to him. And I think in that title that he calls him Lord, I think there's a certain amount of worship and an acceptance of that. And then notice the response that comes from Zacchaeus in response to what God graciously gives to him. He now has a response to it. And he says, he's clearly a changed person. He says, not only does he want to make right what he made wrong, but he wants to give more than what he took from anyone. He wants to extend it out even further. And it's very clear in my mind that redemption has taken place in the life of Zacchaeus. In verse 9 and 10 would bear record of that. It says, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." And I think redemption and the goodness of God go so much hand in hand, and we cannot lose sight of that as we look at this, that the goodness of God is extended out to people. We must receive it, but then we must give it out, and we must extend it to those around us. And this theme of redemption goes alongside of it, and we're going to come back to this, probably reference this story somewhat later here, but I want to think about just a couple of those points, and especially the fact that redemption and restoration came about as God extended his goodness and Zacchaeus received that. So the goodness of God should cause to worship. I think many times we don't spend enough of time just in worship to God. And I guess this is me myself. Personal time of worship. And I think sometimes when we need more of understanding the need or the God wants us to worship him. And there must be a recognition, I believe, of the goodness of God. And we should, and we're asked really to worship God as a result of that. And I'm going to turn to just a few scriptures as it relates to that. Psalm 107. And we're looking now at God calling us to worship for who he is and for his goodness. Brother Dave Lapp had read this chapter just a few weeks ago, and I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I want to point out a couple of verses. Well, there's a few times in this chapter that the same words are repeated. In the first place is verse 8. Those words are, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And it's clearly a call for us to praise God in response to the goodness that he has extended to us. This is mentioned, it's verse 8, verse 15, verses 21, and verse 31. And it follows declarations of God bringing people through difficult times, and then towards the end for bringing life and increase. And some beautiful verses there at the last part of the chapter, and I think maybe I'll just read from 31 to 43. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. God calling us to recognize his goodness and to return praise for it. Psalm 145 also speaks of this. And here again, we could read the entire chapter, but I think I'll read just verses 7 to 9, where he says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." And this chapter is really just a call for us to acknowledge God and who he is, and his goodness and his virtues, and to return praise and honor to him. Moving then towards the next part, there's scriptures that clearly direct us to extend or to a response that is required to the goodness of God on our lives. And just a few of those verses I'm going to share here. You don't need to turn to these. The first one is Psalm 119. Verse 68 says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." And now we're starting to see this, the fact that God is good, God does good, and then there's that asking him to teach us. And so there's starting to be this responsibility that comes in understanding and experiencing the goodness of God. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Romans 2, verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I missed a reference here, but I think it's Romans, somewhere in Romans 11. He says, "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off." And these verses are just starting to show the responsibility that comes in understanding the goodness that God has extended to us. There's now a responsibility. There must be a response to that. So I'd like to think now a bit on the good things in our life and our response to that. And I'd like to just open it up this morning. We've just gotten through Thanksgiving, and we talk about these things, but I'm just going to give an opportunity here. What are some of the good things in our lives? So just open it up to anyone. Okay. Loyal friendships.
Being able to sit here and worship.
Being able to worship.
A faithful companion.
Faithful companion.
The blessing of family.
Blessing of family.
Having God's word freely.
Having God's word freely. Anything else?
The wisdom that God gives to us if we ask of
him. His divine our needs. Mm-hmm. And our wants for our needs. The leaders of citizenship is in heaven.
For the opportunity of Christian schools. Mm-hmm.
peace of God. I think we understand quickly that God has been good to us. And I think we can all say that God really has been good to us. So I would say to each of us today, what is our response to the goodness that God has extended to us? I think sometimes where we find ourselves positioned in life, sometimes it can be hard for us to fully understand the goodness of God. And I would say this as we've become distracted with things and stuff. I think sometimes we become almost, maybe somewhat numb to the blessings that we have. We have so much, and sometimes I think we lose sight of how blessed we actually are, how good God has been to us. I think we must understand that the goodness that God has given us requires a response. We must give. We are so blessed, and we must extend this outward. I think a deeper understanding of the goodness of God comes as we open ourselves to the Word of God and to begin to direct the things that I view as blessings from God outward to those around me. And I think the moment that I focus inward and try to consume the things that God has blessed me with and focus on myself, then I begin to lose perspective on the goodness of God. And so think about, even in some of the things that we mentioned here, we could take family, for instance. So family is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing. But if in family, our focus is all only on each other, where we only focus on building each other up and our world is not bigger than our family, then it loses its, I think it loses its power and its power for influence. And I believe it's, in many ways, it becomes counter what God has intended for His goodness as He extends it to us. So think about if you can use a family and turn them outward and use your family to bless other people in different ways, in so many ways, now you have the goodness of God extended out. And I go back to the fact again that God, I really believe God is not, we have a responsibility to extend that goodness. So take it to whatever, you know, whatever the good things we have. We could say it's the same thing with church. If our focus is inward, our focus is only on our own members, and we don't focus beyond that, then I don't think we're truly fulfilling the call of God to extend His goodness out to those around us. And the same thing could be said about finance. And, you know, we could have conversations probably about whether money is good or bad. But if your money and your stuff is focused on yourself, then we've missed something. We've lost something. If it's all focused on ourselves, it becomes a dead cycle, which goes so counter against God, where He says, I have given you blessings, so now give them to those around you. Just a few verses in relation to this. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Timothy 6:17-19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Galatians 6:9-10, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And one more scripture I'd like to turn to, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 8. This is a scripture I've always been fascinated by, but this is it. We call the marriage supper of the Lamb. And notice these verses, beginning of verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And notice in verse 8, when he talks, he mentions the fine, they were granted to be arrayed in fine linen, and the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And I think that could also be interpreted as the good deeds of the saints. And it's, I think this just references God's call on the church to reach out to the world around you, to extend the goodness of God to those around us. We talk about faith without works being dead. And I think this is what this is referencing. If our faith is only a faith, if we don't reach out to those around us, then it becomes a dead faith. And the works of the saints here are the good deeds, the goodness of God that you extend to the world around us. And it's, I think it's such an important thing for us to understand that we have a calling to extend what God has given to us. I want to read an excerpt from a message, it was a message given by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I've always been fascinated by some of his thinking, and I don't know that I come out quite exactly where he is on everything, but he's gave some insights on this subject that I thought was good and I thought I would share. Just to give a backdrop here, so Bonhoeffer lived during the grew up in Germany in the Lutheran Church, and in many ways he became disenchanted with the church, and he called out a lot of the I guess just the lack of action that the church was taking, not being involved and not reaching out. He lived during the time of Hitler, the rise of Hitler in Germany, and had a lot to say in regard to that. He ended up costing his life. But this message was given in 1931, which would have been about the time we would think of the Great Depression. And so there was a lot of, worldwide, I think there was a lot of suffering, and there was just a lot of difficulty during that time. And he shared this as it related to the responsibility of the church in those kinds of times. So I'm just breaking in here, but he says when we sit down, and he gave this at a harvest festival. He was speaking at a harvest festival, and so it was kind of a celebration of harvest, and I thought it fits well for us, the time we're in right now. When we sit down this evening to a full table and say grace and thank God for God's goodness, we shall not be able to avoid a strange feeling of uneasiness. It will seem incomprehensible to us that we should be the ones to receive such gifts, and we will be overwhelmed by such thoughts and will think that we have not in any way deserved these gifts more than our hungry brothers and sisters in our town. What if, precisely at the moment when we are thanking God for God's goodness toward us, there is a ring at the door, as so often happens these days, and we find someone standing there who also would like to thank God for some small gift, but to whom such a gift has been denied, and who is starving with starving children, and who will go to bed in bitterness? What becomes of our grace in such moments? Will we really feel like saying that God is merciful to us and angry with them? or the fact that we still have something to eat proves that we have won a special favor in God's sight, that God feeds the favorite children and lets the unworthy go hungry? May the merciful God protect us from the temptation of such gratitude. May God lead us to a true understanding of God's goodness. Don't we see that the gifts of God's goodness become a curse for us if we have such thoughts about them and act in such a way? If we look upon ourselves as models of virtue instead of growing humble, as we look at the incomprehensibility of God and the worry and anxiety our wealth creates in us, and if we thank God only for God's goodness to us, instead of being conscious of the immeasurable responsibility which is laid upon us by God's goodness, if we want to understand God's goodness in God's gifts, then we must think of them as a responsibility we bear for our brothers and sisters. Let none say, God has blessed us with money and possessions, and then live as if they and their God were alone in the world. For the time will come when they realize that they have been worshiping the idols of their good fortune and selfishness. Possessions are not God's blessing and goodness, but the opportunities of service which God entrusts to us. I don't know what your thoughts are in relation to that, but I would just challenge us to think about that. I think we really need to recognize that we have been blessed and we really have a responsibility. For the last part of the message, I wanted to touch on the goodness of God in relation to the difficulties of life. And we could really spend an entire message on this. I thought I would open it up, but I don't think I will for the sake of time. I was talking with one of my friends recently. We were just talking about the fact that, you know, we're pretty young yet, but we're starting to see already that life just has, there's just some hard parts of life, and life just has difficulty. And hard things happen to good people. And in a lot of ways, it's not fair. And there's a fact of a reality of it, and I'm conscious that there's people here today going through difficulties, and there's people here that have experienced difficult grief, and there's people that have ongoing things that they're working through right now. And I believe the goodness of God is available to you, and I think if there's anything I would want to emphasize in this part of it, it's the fact that we don't lose sight of the goodness of God. There's something about being able to go back in the midst of deep grief and deep pain and deep hurt and uncertainty, being able to go back and to know that God is good and to rest assured in the fact that God is good. And I think it's such an important thing. And I would just tell us, I would say for everyone here, find it, if there's a time in your life when God really shows himself and you experience the goodness of God, that you take and you mark that moment and use it when you get to a point when life looks hard and life is unfair and life is difficult, and go back to that moment and know that God is good. And while life is not fair, God is good. And that would be just my encouragement to anyone today who is walking through a difficult time. Don't walk away from the goodness of God. God is good, and we must rest in that. I believe there's a time for grief and a time for sorrow, but I also believe God wants to turn our grief and healing outward in a testimony to those that are currently walking through difficult times. And I think, again, as we start to invest in those that are going through difficult times, as we start to reach out and extend the goodness of God to those who are hurting, I think we start to see and understand, we'll get a better picture of redemption. And it's where goodness and the goodness of God and redemption again tied together. And if we just take the time to reach out to those that are hurting, it's going to change our life. It's going to open our eyes to see the goodness and the redemption of God. Just a few scriptures as encouragement for those facing difficulty. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So, in conclusion, I would just like to leave us with a call to action. First of all, worship the Lord and proclaim his goodness. Tell the world around you about the goodness of God and be willing to share that. And just praise the Lord for his goodness to you. We've been blessed. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And proclaim it to those around us. Most of us sat around a table this week that was piled with food, and we enjoyed that. And I would just encourage you to think about this. If we come back next year and do the same thing again, and between this year and next year, we've done nothing to help those who are hungry, then I believe we are very possibly on the way to losing sight of the goodness of God. And so I would call you just to find a way, a practical way, to help those that are less fortunate, that do not have all the things that you have. And then I'd say for those going through hard times, hold on to the promises of God. Don't let yourself entertain thoughts of doubt toward the goodness of God. Surround yourself with his word and ask God to give you a message of hope to share with those who are struggling, others who are struggling. And just think about this. How many times in doing a good deed for someone have you come away feeling blessed? And I really believe that's the goodness of God at work. There's great reward in engaging in the work of God. And as we extend his goodness to others, we understand better how blessed we are and just how good our God is. Let's kneel for prayer.